These opening chapters of Matthew's Gospel. And as we do that, we're going to hear the Gospel. Because we use the word Gospel in two different ways. Sometimes we use the word Gospel with a capital G to refer to one of the four books which open the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. The Gospel according to Matthew. So the books which record the message of what God has done for the salvation of his people through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the Gospels are not biographies in the modern sense. They don't give us a complete account of the life of Jesus. Many years in the life of Jesus, we hear nothing about them. So the Gospels are written for a redemptive purpose. The Gospels, records of what God has done in history to save sinful men and women through the incarnation, the earthly life, the mighty acts, the suffering, the death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. But they don't contain everything that could be written. John says, if you were to write everything that he could write about Jesus, then the whole world couldn't contain all the books that he could write. So John doesn't write everything. No, he gives us one gospel, the Gospel of John. And he writes things specifically in the light of salvation. He wants us to believe in Jesus Christ. So he writes not to tickle our curiosity or scratch our fancy, but to help us have a saving knowledge of God. So that's what a gospel is, a biography, but not like a modern biography, a life account of the saving acts of God in his son, Jesus Christ. But of course, the Gospels, capital G, also contain the gospel, small g. And we also use the word gospel, not to refer to a book, but to a message. The gospel, the good news of salvation to a world that's lost and confused. A world in rebellion against God. So, the gospel, good news of great joy, brought to people who deserve to be condemned because they rebel against God's standards. But who through the grace and mercy of God can find forgiveness through the Saviour, Jesus Christ. So the gospel is good news to a world that is in mutiny against God. Now it's often said that the gospels in the New Testament are aimed in particular directions. For instance, it's said that the Gospel of John is written to show that Jesus is the Saviour of the whole world. Not only of Jews, but of Gentiles too. Sometimes it's said the Gospel of Luke is written to convey the Gospel to Greeks. The Gospel of Mark to convey the Gospel to Romans. The Gospel of Matthew to convey the Gospel to Jews. And the Gospel of Matthew does contain something in its language and style and concept which appeals to those who know something about the Old Testament scriptures and whose worldview is formed by allegiance to the God of Israel. But whatever the narrow purpose of Matthew's gospel is, the broad purpose is clear. And I want to set out to you, just by way of introduction, four things that I think are in Matthew's mind as he writes his gospel. What is Matthew setting out to do? Well, first of all, he's aiming at conversion. Matthew isn't writing what he says just to tell us an interesting story, the life story of Jesus. He's not just writing historical facts that occurred in space and time. He's writing because he wants you to trust in Jesus Christ. So in his gospel, he records instances of people who knew the Bible, initially rejected the gospel, but who were converted, who came to personally put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Matthew's after. He's not a detached historian. What he says is true, but he doesn't just give the facts to tell us interesting things. He tells us facts about Jesus Christ because he wants you to trust in that Savior. That you'll be saved, that you'll be converted. That's what Matthew is aiming at. Secondly, Matthew is aiming for sanctification. It's interesting that much of the teaching in Matthew's gospel, a gospel that does give us the basics of Jesus' birth, and life, death and resurrection. But it contains a lot about Jesus teaching his disciples. How should a Christian live? So in Matthew chapters 5 to 7, for example, Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount is the longest account that we have in the Bible. A sermon that tells us how to become a Christian and how to live as Christians in a fallen world. A world impacted by human rebellion. So Matthew is concerned that you be converted, you become a Christian. But then having become a Christian, that you live as a Christian and be transformed and changed and made more like Jesus. So, salvation, conversion, also sanctification. But then thirdly, Matthew is interested in vindicating Jesus Christ from false charges, false accusations. Throughout Matthew's gospel, people make false charges against Jesus and reject him and reject his claims. They also make false charges against Christians and what Christians believe. So Matthew is concerned to vindicate the truth. He's interested in what is called today apologetics. Now, apologetics is not apology. It's not saying sorry for the Christian faith. Apologetics is showing how the Christian faith is reasonable. A reasonable faith. You don't have to leave your brain at the church door when you come in to worship on a Lord's Day. No, the Christian faith engages the mind, but it doesn't only engage the mind, it must also engage your heart. But through the mind to the heart. Not just empty emotionalism, not just bare intellectualism, but mind and heart together. And Matthew is concerned to set out the Christian faith is reasonable. It is a reasonable thing to believe what the Bible teaches us about who Jesus is. So he's defending the faith. He's vindicating Jesus against false charges. And the fourth thing that Matthew's gospel does is it focuses on evangelism. So conversion, sanctification, vindication, evangelism. All four are in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew, of course, contains the great commission of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has in view the spread of the gospel to the whole world. So Matthew ends by saying that Jesus spoke, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So all of those things are in view, as Matthew writes. So why, in a book that is aimed at conversion, that you become a Christian, sanctification, that you grow as a Christian, to vindicate the faith, that you understand that the Christian faith is reasonable, that just promotes the evangelism of the world, why does he begin with a genealogy? And maybe some of you are interested in researching your ancestors. There's a website called ancestry.com.